Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Luigi Mangione indicted on murder charges and an act of terrorism count in the killing of United's healthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside a New York City hotel. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg calling it a brazen, premeditated killing.
When he saw Mr. Thompson, he crossed the street and approached him from behind. We allege he then took out a 9mm 3D printed ghost gun equipped with a 3D printed suppressor and shot him once in the back and once in the leg.
Bragg says Mangione is expected to waive extradition at a hearing in Pennsylvania this Thursday. Lawmakers receiving a classified briefing on the reported drone sightings, the majority in the Northeast, but also around the country, including near a military installation in Utah. The federal government reinforcing that there's no danger to the public. The Fed board wrapping up its policy meeting tomorrow and could announce another interest rate cut. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents who still have a landline through AT&T will soon have to plan a change. Company officials say they're planning to discontinue their landline service in Wisconsin and other states by 2029. According to their data, about 5% of their residential customers still use a landline connected through copper technology, which they say is too susceptible to water damage and the wiring is more likely to be stolen. The company has introduced an alternative service that functions like a landline but runs over wireless networks. Wisconsin travel officials are expecting a busy and possibly record-breaking holiday season. A AAA survey estimated that nearly 2.5 million Wisconsin residents will be traveling at least 50 miles during the busiest travel season of the year, which would break last year's record high by about 75,000 travelers. With the added travel and freezing conditions on the roadways, officials are warning residents to drive carefully, account for additional travel time, and give themselves some extra space from other vehicles on the roads. A conference in the Spooner Lake District's lawsuit against the Washburn County Board of Adjustment is scheduled for Thursday. The lawsuit stems from claims that the Board of Adjustment improperly granted a conditional use permit for a 200-acre RV campground near Spooner Lake without giving due consideration to the environmental impact of the site. The Spooner Lake District claims the site will contribute to lake pollution and decrease land value. The lawsuit also claims the park's septic system must be upgraded to prevent pollution. An Almena man has been charged in the Barron County Circuit Court for allegedly stealing a truck and driving at nearly three times the legal limit. According to court documents, 52-year-old Feliciano Sanchez allegedly took the vehicle from the Almena home without the permission of the owner, who called law enforcement authorities to report it stolen and advised them that Sanchez was highly intoxicated. A Turtle Lake police officer later found the truck at an Almena gas station, and a blood draw showed a BAC of over 0.25. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers get a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers lost their two quarterbacks to the transfer portal, Tyler Van Dyke and Braden Locke. They've announced that San Diego State quarterback Danny O'Neill is coming to Madison. O'Neill started in 11 games as a true freshman, completing 63% of his passes for over 2,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. NFL, the Packers with an extra day off after beating the Seahawks in Seattle Sunday night. Head coach Matt LaFleur had these instructions for the players after the game.
Handle your body, handle your business. We got another primetime game at our house, a Monday night game against the New Orleans Saints. All right? Every game is critical, man, and we got to keep stacking these wins.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in the NBA Cup Finals in Las Vegas.
This cup, you know, I liked it last year as a broadcaster. I love it more as a coach. I think it's good for our league. You don't get to get this experience during a regular season.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures staying below freezing in the upper 20s. We do have a small shot of light snow pushing in this evening. With accumulations looking like less than half an inch, it'll be done by early tomorrow morning, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies and temperatures crashing from the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 26 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll talk to a school administrator from up north who's the state's new superintendent of the year. You could accurately call her superior.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Not really. It's Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils filling in for Dom in the Dom Salvia Show today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening. And again, always for all of the Busted Pencils listeners out there. Yeah, it is me live back on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jess is here. The number's 855-752-4842, just to get that out there right away. And, you know, here we are, jump right into it. The day after the tragedy in Madison, the school shooting, and... You know, coming in, I knew I was going to be guest hosting for Dom, and before this happened, and realizing that, okay, we're going to talk about this on the Dom Salvia Show, and we have a real special guest today. She's the executive director and co-founder of Teachers Unify to End Gun Violence. She is a veteran elementary school teacher with over 30 years of experience and a survivor of the 2012 Sandy Hook tragedy, where she courageously protected her second grade students. She's a leading voice in gun violence prevention, having worked with organizations like Moms Demand Action and the AFT. She's dedicated to amplifying the voices of educators in the fight to end gun violence and advocating for real solutions to keep our schools and communities safe. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, Abby Clements. Hi, Abby. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to do this type of an appearance. You know, we were talking a little bit before the show. At what point do you say, my goodness, not again? And you know, how do you address this? I just wonder, you know, your thoughts. You've been through this way too many times since Sandy Hook, but what were your first thoughts?
I mean, when I see a headline like this, we saw yesterday, I have to take a minute before I look. It's like you see it and I think I audibly said, no, out loud. And I have to like wait a second before like almost to prepare myself to read what happens way too often in this country. And the thought of my students, you asked me how I do this, and my former second graders who I ran out of the building with in Newtown, they are 18 and 19 years old. And they have watched these tragedies happen over and over again. And I just know that for them, for my kids, for next generations, we have to do something. We have to take a stand and do things that are hard. Because, and also I know like my former students are watching me, and I feel this great responsibility having survived the tragedy in Newtown. And so for me, it's just always been this way to move forward, even though you kind of relive those same feelings, and you think about the aftermath of that entire school community. There were a lot of kids in that building and all their families, and they will be forever changed in some way. And right. Just knowing that it does take a toll, but it makes you feel like you have to help make a change so that we could do something about this.
Well, yeah, I want to talk more about that very specifically a little bit here. You know, what came across, so you and Randy Weingarten with the AFT put out a joint statement yesterday. You know, and again, kind of paraphrasing the quote of the lead police officer in Madison, you know, we got to stop asking why schools need bulletproof glass and metal detectors and start asking why they need to have them. Can we shift this conversation at this point to finally start addressing root causes? Is that the work that is absolutely immediately what we need to be doing? I mean, Abby, thinking about this, you know, for somebody to say, you know, let's stop talking about making schools safer. Let's stop talking about this happening, or let's start talking about making this not happen, as opposed to how do we protect this, or, you know, again, minimize, make it less. How about make it not?
I do think that this conversation can shift. It needs to shift. This is not a political issue. And somehow it has been put into that space. So we find ourselves with lousy laws, laws that are not protecting kids and the people who care for them, their families, their teachers. But I do think that there is an opportunity to look at this, because this happens, you know, there are armed guards, there are panic buttons, there are newfangled this and that, there are bulletproof clipboards, backpacks, but we have got to get a handle on easy access to firearms, because we just can't compete with that kind of firepower. And, you know, working with AFT, it is so important, because educators just have not had a voice in this issue. Meanwhile, we're on the front lines every single day. And our students, whether it happens in school or across the street or at a homecoming event or a basketball game, you know, we're dealing with it in our classrooms the next day. Mm. So, you know, ever since the tragedy, Randy has, and surely beforehand, has been dedicated to raising the voices of teachers, to carving out opportunities in conferences and conventions for us to organize teachers to help people speak up on this issue. It's very challenging in the climate we're in as teachers to speak up about this, because unfortunately that piece about it being political, which I don't know why it is, but working with her, I think we're on track to what you said about making the shift about like responsibility and locking up your firearms and keeping away from kids, and also raising the voices of teachers who are need to be heard.
We're talking to Abby Clements. She's the co-founder and executive director of Teachers Unified to End Gun Violence, survivor of the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting, second grade teacher at the time. And it's Dr. Tim Slegger. You know, I'm sitting in for Dom today. I'm glad I could be here and do this. Not a show I wanted to do. It's not a show anybody ever wants to do. We're trying to have when is it going to end? When are we going to stop having the conversation of how do we make schools more safe? How do we protect kids from, because there's an assumption in that preparation that says, we're not willing to stop it. And that to me, Abby, is the kind of full face where we put it forward and say, like, what's wrong with going back to, why don't we stop it and let's talk about those solutions instead of protecting for when it does, getting ready when it will. All of these conversations always just push forward this gonna, well, it's gonna happen. And I can hear people going, well, Tim, we have a responsibility to make kids safe. We need to do everything. We do. We're saying that. We understand that. But where's the conversation about saying, when are we going to do the things that we know we can do to make it stop? Like, how frustrating is that for you in this?
It is incredibly frustrating. I mean, somehow we've gotten to the place where we say there's the Second Amendment. So then, you know, we shrug our shoulders and this is just part of it. And this is not. There's no reason why we cannot have both. And why does one, you know, overstep the other? We have a right to live. We have a right to go to school safely. We have a right to go to the grocery store, to church, to the park. So I don't know why we found ourselves in this place, but I don't think it's impossible to break through. I think that the responsibility on parents to lock up their firearms, I feel like this is the way. Mm. This is the shift in a little culture change that can save lives. I saw a number today from the Washington Post that was higher than I had seen before, that the percentage of weapons used in school shootings that originated from the homes of friends, relatives, or parents in cases where the source of the gun could be determined, according to the Post, is 86%.
Yeah.
Okay. If you just, so it, and this is not, I mean, yes, I mean, Connecticut has strengthened its safe firearm storage law. And there are other states that have done so. But even without it, we can make change by just a slight culture shift of just locking up your gun.
Yeah, you think about that, right? It's just, you know, and enforcing that as a law that this is required. This is not against your Second Amendment rights to require safe storage, to require access be forbidden. To do that, you get to keep your gun, but you have to do this. You have to make sure that it cannot get out of that safekeeping. You, as a responsible adult in that household, we can put together laws that absolutely say this is the bottom line. And you go, would that potentially stop? And as you just cited, Abby, 86%. Yes, that will stop some of these. Yes. You know, it is. It's you know, it's America, this culture of violence. The whole idea that, right, the number one cause of death of children in this country is gun violence. Man. It's Dr. Tim Slecker. I'm sitting in for Dom, the Dom Salvia Show today. Our guest, Abby Clements, co-founder and executive director of Teachers Unify to End Gun Violence. Got a lot more. The number is 855-752-4842 if you have a question for Abby. More when we get back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. No, it's not Dom. It's Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in. Yeah, you know, here I am, host of Busted Pencils. Happy to be in here, taking it over for Dom. And, well, just to get to the business, so it's time for another statewide text to win contest. Listen to Civic Media on the app and text that keyword during the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours each day for your chance to win a prize from Grown Up Gifts List. Each of these hours, we're giving away either $100 cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. Each hourly entry qualifies you for our grand prizes, from espresso machines to robot vacuums. We've got 8 grand prizes from a grown-up's gift list. Today's keyword and giveaway season, overnight Chula Vista stay. Welcome back.
So,
Jess, did I get it all?
So make sure you text in from the app. The word is season. Tis the season. S-E-A-S-O-N. Go ahead and text that for your chance to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista. And every entry will get you entered for one of those grand prizes. Make sure you should get a text back, a bounce back text from Civic Media. If you're not getting that text back, it means you spelled something wrong. So try it again. The word is season, S-E-A-S-O-N.
Well, there it is. So get that. Get your phone out and get texting. We are back, though. It's the day after here in Wisconsin. The day after a school shooting again. And here we are, and we're talking about it. Our guest is Abby Clements. She's executive director and co-founder of Teachers Unified to End Gun Violence. Also, survivor of the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting, second grade teacher there. You know, we're talking about this from the standpoint, though, as here we are, you know, here are the conversations that people have. You know, how do we, you know, put together the best school shooting drill, the protective clothing, the school resource officers? And we were talking about this, Abby, saying that in all of those, just assume it's going to happen. And I guess we have to be practical now at this point and do all of those things. But I'm tired of the assumption that it has to happen. And you pointed out a statistic on that, the first round there, too, that, you know, 89% of the guns that are used in these tragic events are guns that came and originated from the household, and how simple locking and keeping those inaccessible to kids. We could do that right now. And when you point that out, do you get any pushback from anybody when you say, like, you know, how about a common sense lock your darn gun up law?
Honestly, like, most of the time I found myself sitting next to somebody on an airplane where I'm headed to a conference, and we get into a conversation and we happen to be on two different sides of the spectrum in terms of maybe politically. And we start talking about guns. At first the conversation goes, we're very far apart. Mm-hmm. But then the more we really pare it down and talk about it, we're really on the same page. People just want to keep their kids safe, and it's not impossible to do it. And we can do this without, this should not be normalized, what you're talking about, that we should be finding the newest way for, like, a hiding place to morph into a school library that costs school districts tens of thousands of dollars that they don't have. That will be taken away from things that we need, like more counselors and right. And better curriculum. We can do this, and I feel like there's, well, clearly it's not the numbers that are going to make this change, because our statistics are horrible when it comes to gun violence in America, and like you brought up, the simple fact, the horrible fact that gun violence is a leading cause of death for children and teens in America. I mean, let that sink in, is just, it's horrific. So every sector of our society must have a plan for this, whether it's a campaign, whether they send out a safe storage letter. We helped get New York City public schools, a million families received a, hey, you know, if you have firearms, lock them up letter at the beginning of the year. Just like you get a letter about, like, keeping your household, toxic chemicals separate, away and locked up from your kids. Like, there are ways we can do this, because we can't normalize what we're living in.
Yeah. You just made me think, it's like, you know, the effort we put into making sure kids don't eat Tide Pods. And yeah, you know, and going, it's just like, okay, well then if we're willing to make the effort to stop kids from eating Tide, come on, we've got an effort here. Abby, again, time really moved quickly here today. I just wondered, though, too, before we go, and Keith, yeah, we will get to you on the next round there. We see you sitting there waiting, Keith from Broadhead. At this moment in this situation, what should somebody who says, I want to be there, I'm going to encounter, because people in Madison, I mean, I lived in Madison for 10 years. This school was right down the road from where I worked. Mm-hmm. I want to be helpful. What do I say? What don't I say? I just want, you know, because I imagine everybody wants, but nobody wants to trigger into this spot. But how can I be helpful in this moment?
That's such a great question. I wish we had more time to talk about it. And I think that, so we have a dual problem. We have the problem that we don't have the vocabulary for this, to how to deal with this trauma, but yet we have it all the time. So we don't know what to do. I think just constantly saying, I'm here for you, and keep checking in. Don't say, let me know if you need anything. Just be there, talk about it, because then if it becomes an elephant in the room, and that feeling is awful. Like, you know, you don't know what to do, because it's on your mind it's on their minds all the time now, and it will be for a long time. So just be there, show up, listen.
Abby Clements, thank you so much for your time tonight. And I hope you don't have to do this conversation again. It's Dr. Tim Slecker in for Dom Salvia. When we get back, Keith, we're going to get to you, and anybody else, give those calls. 855-752-4842 when we get back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is accepting nominations for this year's Wisconsin Ethical Hunter Award. According to a press release, the award is given out to a hunter who honors the outdoor tradition responsibly and safely. Past winners have been nominated for things like helping new hunters track their game or going above and beyond to protect the state's natural resources. The nominations will be reviewed by a 5-person committee of outdoor experts and must be submitted with the name and reason for nomination by January 31st. The Madison community is reeling from Monday's school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. According to Madison police officials, 8 people were shot at the Eastside School on Monday just before 11 a.m. As of Tuesday morning, a teenage student and teacher have been killed, 2 others were in critical condition in the hospital, and 4 others suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities identified the shooter as 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, a student at the school, and say she died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. The criminal case against a New Auburn man involved in a standoff in Barron County is set to proceed. 60-year-old Joseph Pushek was arrested on October 12th after being accused of pointing a firearm at the residence of a home near Chetek after the residents told him that his child wasn't there. A standoff ensued when law enforcement authorities arrived, during which Pushek allegedly pointed the firearm at deputies and rammed an armored vehicle with his truck. He is facing multiple charges, including domestic abuse and endangering safety. The city of Ashland has reached a settlement in a lawsuit over the design and construction of a heavily damaged pier. According to court documents, the city hired 2 engineering firms to undertake the pier project along Lakeshore Drive East in 2017, but it was severely damaged by ice in 2022. The city sued the companies in 2023 for breach of contract and negligence, and the firms agreed to pay the city a total of $250,000. City officials say the pier is too damaged to repair and now must be demolished. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Moana 2 remained king of the box office last weekend. In its third weekend of release, the film pulled in over $26 million, putting it in first place yet again. Moana 2 and Wicked have a nice little competition going. Even though Moana 2 broke records, it might not catch Wicked when it comes to the total take. Wicked has pulled in $359 million domestically, and Moana 2 is at $337 million. They are neck and neck, which might be too much of a deficit for Moana 2 to overcome when it comes to the holiday season box office champ. Wicked remains strong at the gate, also finishing in second place last week with $22.5 million. Action-adventure film Kraven the Hunter, starring Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, is a box office dud, finishing with a disappointing $11 million in its first week of release. Gladiator 2 held strong in fourth place with $7.5 million, and the new animated Lord of the Rings film finished in fifth place with a disappointing total of less than $5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with a few flurries and snow showers, a low in the mid-teens. Early clouds tomorrow, a few sunny breaks for the afternoon, a high right around 20. Then another round of flurries and snow showers Wednesday night and Thursday. Accumulations expected. Currently it's 26.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the National DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Is there a Christmas song that makes you cringe every time you hear it? The Chipmunks, maybe? What about that Mariah Carey tune? We review the weirdest and most annoying holiday tunes of all time. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencil, sitting in. You know, I can do this work, too.
Yeah, I hear Jess. That, you know, you've got a show and all that has some radio time. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, you can check out Busted Pencils, of course, the podcast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Saturday, 3 o'clock across all civic media connections. Busted Pencils, 1 hour fully. Would love for you to be there. Jess, there's another contest with Civic Media.
There is indeed a text to win contest going on. Civic Media's grown up gift list, as Dom keeps pointing out, that's not an adult gift list. It's a grown up gift list. There are some really cool grand prizes on there, including an espresso machine that our sports director, Jimmy Acosta, if you happen to be the one who wins that, he will track you down. He wants it very, very badly. However, every day we have four giveaways for either a hard cash money prize of $100 or an overnight stay at Chula Vista. In this hour, that code word is season. Tis the season to get some gifts. That is S-E-A-S-O-N. Text that in for a chance to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista. That code word is good for the rest of this 4 o'clock hour. So get on it. Text in through the Civic Media app for this statewide contest.
There you go. And yeah, we're back though too. It is sadly the day after a school shooting.
Again.
And, you know, the first half hour we had the executive director and co-founder of Teachers Unified to End Gun Violence, Abby Clements, also survivor of the Sandy Hook horrendous massacre, their second grade teacher at the time, but now sadly doing this incredibly important work. We're talking a lot, you know, what can we do? And I want to continue to have that conversation. Of course, you know, too, if you have another direction, love to hear about it. 855-752-4842. Keith from Broadhead. Keith, you've been holding on there. We appreciate it. Keith, what's happening?
Good afternoon, Dr. Tim. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing okay. But, you know, I hate doing this show.
Not the Dom Salvia show.
No, not the Dom Salvia show. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. I know what you mean. So my question is, if, as she said, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking her name already. She was just on with you. If they can literally trace back between 86% and 89% of these guns to where the person responsible, the owner of the gun, maybe it's time to start charging them with involuntary manslaughter or reckless use of a firearm or something under those terms. I mean, if you're not going to take the responsibility for an item that you purchased that is a deadly weapon, obviously, that's why you have them. I'm a hunter myself. I have several shotguns and so forth. I never keep them loaded. Their shells are in a separate room from the guns, and they're all locked up in different cases. And it's not that dang hard,
right? Right.
If you can't take the responsibility for that, then maybe it's time to start charging them.
Well, Keith, I think we're going to see that, and in fact, you know, the last two, the parents are being, you know, charged in this ability, right, Jess?
Indeed.
I mean,
indeed, yeah. They're. It is a case. Okay, go ahead.
No, go. It is. And it's something we do need to do. It's one of those things that we can. And so, you know, putting forward these ideas of going, you know, let's stop this from happening. Okay. We've put in place, you know, school shooter drills, bulletproof backpacks, bulletproof glass. You name it, school resource officers, they're all there. Okay. All right. Now let's do the things that stop this from happening. You know, and Joe from Madison on the line, talk about something going on in Michigan. Michigan has a safe storage law. Joe, how are you?
Good. And thanks to Keith for what he had to say. And as a hunter and how he does his storage of his weapons and ammo was interesting to me, that he takes such care to make sure that
they're as safe as can be. Michigan has a law. It's called the Safe Storage Law, and it says adults can be charged with a misdemeanor if a kid gains access to a firearm that wasn't improperly stored. But it increases to felony charges if the child injures or kills someone with a firearm. And all the way to, if you have a gun that's improperly stored and a child under your purview commits a death is caused because of that, it is a Class C felony with a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison. Now, I bring this up because I had a friends of friends were describing a family in which this came to a head. The law had just recently passed. Grandparents were taking care of kids, and they left guns around. One of the children killed a cousin, and the fur was flying over this, and both of the grandparents were charged, and both of the grandparents received sentences. I don't know if it was the full 15 years, but it was up there. It was a felony conviction and 15 years. And what struck me from it, Tim, was that this family, obviously they were ruined because of what happened here, but they were also legally and financially ruined. These grandparents, after they were done paying the lawyers and spending the time in jail, and they lost their home, they lost their pensions, they lost a ton. So I was curious if other people, hunters and others who are gun aficionados within the listening area, what their thoughts would be about this. Does this seem like it would work? Does this seem like a way to do this? Or if you feel that one of the reasons why you have a gun is, in case of intruders, to make yourself feel safe, does this fact that you have to, take the gun out of this case and add this or add the ammo, does that make you less safe? I would be really interested in hearing what people had to say. So thanks a lot.
Wow. Thank you, Joe. Great, great question there, because just Joe brings up the point where somebody's saying, but if it's locked up and I can't get to it, I can't protect myself.
Right.
If that's the case, well, Joe put it out there, 855-752-4842. We'd like to hear from you to talk about that, because I got to think that the reality is that, if you have a gun and you have children, that means, yes, people 17 and under in that household, the fact that we would put together a law like it sounds like they have in Michigan that says, well, sorry, you now have children in the premises, you have to lock up that firearm. Is that too much? Too much to that your safety is that much at risk that you're saying, no, I would rather risk my child getting access to this gun and causing a horrendous, horrific tragedy in my house because my need and my right to protect myself has to override the fact that there could be a gun incident in my house. And God forbid, a student finds that gun and takes it to school, like what seems to have happened here in Madison. A gun available in the home, and it gets and finds its way into school. We want to stop this.
We do. And we just got a text. Todd from DePeer says that they make fingerprint safes where you can keep loaded guns. He says that he has several, including one mounted on his nightstand. Yeah, so that's one of those cases that sort of solves it, where it's not something that you have to input a complicated lock in order to get your gun out. It's just a fingerprint scan. Maybe that's a good solution. That's a good halfway point. But when you're talking about trying to find the balance between having your gun, if the primary reason that you have the gun is not for hunting, but for, self-defense, for feeling safe in your home, well, the statistics show that having a gun in the house is actually usually the greater threat, that there are far more injuries and deaths that relate from having a gun in the house, whether it's for self-defense or any other purpose, than something like a home invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reality there, Jess, I'm glad you brought this up, because then you say, you know, and Johnny Lupinacci, my co-host for Busted Pencils, sadly, you know, whenever this happens, we always have to do a show on school shootings. And you know, we typically have somebody say, but I need my protection. I need it in my house. But the statistic of having a weapon in your house when children are around, or even yourself, the reality that that gun will be used for protection. Sorry, the statistics show that that gun will end up being in some form used in some accident and or intentionally to inflict some type of pain and suffering, if not death, in the house, dealing with the people who live in that house and the relatives. And so the reality of a gun to protect you, to be safe in your home, actually putting that gun in your home dramatically increases your odds that something bad is going to happen to you or your family with that gun. And so, you know, it's a statistic. It's a fact. It's not fake news. It's the reality. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker, sitting in for Dom during the Dom Salvia Show. Sadly, it is the day after a school shooting. First half hour, we had our guest, Abby Clements, executive director and co-founder of Teachers Unify to End Gun Violence, and also survivor of a school shooting, Sandy Hook, and the work that their organization does, and pointing out the realities here that, you know, sadly, her job seems to be that she continues to do these shows, whether it's TV or a radio show, to talk about the communities and where this happens. You know, one of the things that I had pointed out and asked Abby, though, too, as we were kind of coming down to the end, is that in this moment, in this situation, how do we now help in the communities here? Because from now on, anybody associated with the school shooting in Madison, this is their reality, their living, there's trauma. And so, you know, I'm a neighbor. I want to be in a supportive position. What is it that I can do? What is it that I shouldn't do? And really appreciated Abby's point that to just make sure that everybody involved knows you're always available, mm-hmm. truly available. And the let me know if you need something. Yeah, you know, that part
puts it on the other person to then come up with not only the things that they need or want, but then to reach the activation energy of saying that to someone and asking for help. That's hard, man. Especially when you're already seriously struggling.
Yeah, and so that's it, you know, right? And I think whenever we do that, hey, let me know if I can help, it's not because we're intentionally trying mm-hmm. to just throw it on them. It's just almost kind of like a cliche thing that we say. Mm-hmm. But here in this moment, okay, no. What can I do? What can I do? And as Abby pointed out, and constantly checking in with your neighbors and your friends and your family members who have gone through this, to always be asking, what can I do? Making that be that we now, you know, we as the community members that have to live after a school shooting, how is it that we're going to respond in a way that can be helpful? I know we can have in these moments going like, there's nothing else we can do. Well, first thing we can do is make sure that we are there for the survivors, because it's a long road. And as Abby was pointing out, it's actually a road that won't ever end. It's Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom Salvia. The number is 855-752-4842. You know, one more little segment here for this hour. Cindy from Appleton, yes, should be alternative to prison. We'll talk about that. And Annie from Watertown, we'll get to your text when we get back.
Text in season for that text to win.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month.
as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. The Dom Salvia Show. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom. Well, he's away. You know, it's a little bit of a break. Sadly, though, here we are the day after a school shooting again, Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, we had the very first half hour, very special guest, the executive director and co-founder of Teachers Unify to End Gun Violence, Abby Clemens, also the survivor of the Sandy Hook massacre. She was a second grade teacher at that time. We left the last segment. We were talking about, you know, what can we do in this situation? And we moved in the direction of to support our neighbors and our friends that are, and our family members that are dealing with this tragedy. And the number one thing that we heard from Abby is to persistently be available and to be available with the what can I do, mm-hmm. not the let me know if you need me.
Right.
And see here too that United Way Dane County, go to their website, Abundant Life Christian School Emergency Recovery Fund. So United Way of Dane County stands ready to support the children and families and educators affected by the tragic shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. If you go to that, you can see where you can make a monetary donation. And again, that's helping. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what? Sometimes, yeah, cash helps.
Absolutely.
And it can be used in any ways. And two more callers. Cindy from Appleton. Cindy, you got some comments here. What's happening?
Well, I'm not an advocate for prison. And like one of your callers said earlier, the parents of this young girl, again, if they end up in prison, then who takes care of their children? They lose their jobs. They lose their house. To me, that makes no sense. They should have to do several years of community service, including going into schools and churches, talking about why you should not leave your guns accessible to your children. Mm. Also, they should have to pay for some of the funeral expenses for the family who's their child killed. I mean, these are options that can be done. If they don't have the money, then their wages get garnished. But I just don't advocate putting more people in prison because that really does not solve the problem. This is a bigger problem than, mm-hmm. you know, what we're talking about here. And we need to start with mental health issues, mm-hmm. like you say, community support. And I mean, people are getting shot and killed every day. Why don't we have several public service announcements every day about locking up your guns, keeping your guns safe, whatever? We don't hear that kind of stuff. Why mm-hmm. not? When people hear things like that over and over and over again, it starts to take hold.
Yeah. All right. Cindy, thank you so much. Yeah. I'm putting everybody right away in prison. Cindy, good points there. You mm-hmm. know, what are the implications then of that, of the families that are there? I'll talk more about that. Annie from Waterton, you're on the Dom Salvia show. What's happening, Annie?
Annie.
Oh, well.
All right, we'll come back to Annie.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
that just do it.
If you're listening to us on the Civic Media app, which you certainly should be for crystal clear quality and the ability to text or call in with a single button push, you can participate right now in our Text to Win contest. There are 4 minutes left in this hour's giveaway for a stay at Chula Vista. The code word is season. It is the season almost of winter, depending on which calendar you follow. Season, S-E-A-S-O-N. Text that in now. You have 4 minutes remaining for your chance to win that stay, as well as to be entered for one of our 8 grand prizes.
Mm. Thinking of this season, but you know, the Australia listeners, it's a different season for them.
It's a different season. They're still in a season, though.
Right, right. Any luck with Annie there, Jess? Or
Annie, you here? Can you hear us?
I'm here.
There you are.
There you are. Yeah. Hey, Annie. How are you?
Yeah, doing stuff around the house, juggling things, and hit the wrong button. Why I don't carry a gun. I'm reminded of Dom and Cruz having a guy from the Gun Society on, and I really have to wonder about... Well, this whole country, but part of this faction of people who are so devoted to their guns. And they were interviewing this guy, asking him about him carrying his gun here and there and on and on. And he had kids in his house. And I think, boy, what if somebody else's kids visit him? But as they were talking, I'm thinking, well, what does he do? Carry it around the kitchen, the house with him? And then they asked him, and yes, he carries the gun around on his hip, at home in everyday life.
Oh,
and I just have to wonder what is wrong with people that they need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Annie, I mean, think about that. It's like, wow, really? You're packing in your house mm-hmm. with your second grader and your fourth grader because, you know, there is an insanity here. And with the guns and the over the top, the whole conceal and carry laws just make me absolutely frightened. And I think there should be, you know, your right to protect yourself and your right to carry your gun. I'm sorry, but I did not give up my right to safety. I'm a citizen of this country, and I have a right to safety. I have a right to do those things like going to the grocery store and going out. And kids and teachers have a right. They should have a constant, current, always expectation that school is the place where the world and the pain and the suffering of the world doesn't enter. Man. Dr. Tim Slecker sitting in for Dom Salvia. Got another hour coming up and special guest, Educators Amplified, Joanna Rosato joining us. And hey, make sure you give us a call if you want to jump in. The number's 855-752-4842. Back after the break.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has plans for the next Trump administration. What does that mean for people in Wisconsin? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers reacting after receiving a closed-door briefing on the surge of drone sightings across the U.S. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Congressman Jimmy Gomez said off the top of his head, no, we can't think of anything he heard in this classified setting that isn't in some way already out there in the public sphere. And we know that federal officials have said that these drone sightings can be chalked up to either civilian planes or helicopters or law enforcement or military aircraft or law enforcement drones or civilian drones, or in some cases, FBI and DHS say that people are mistaking stars and saying that they're drones.
Manhattan's district attorney says Luigi Mangione was indicted on murder charges in the shooting of United Healthcare CEO, along with a count of terrorism. He could waive extradition this week. In Madison, Wisconsin, police looking at a combination of factors, they say, for a possible motive in yesterday's mass shooting at the private Christian school carried out by a female student. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.